From Santa Barbara, California, Timeless Voyager Radio with Bruce Stephen Holmes. Self-development radio for the open mind. Interviews with leading-edge authors and speakers in the fields of environmental issues, alternative healthcare, new psychology, psychic phenomena, UFOs, and extraterrestrial encounters. And now, Bruce Stephen Holmes for Timeless Voyager Radio.
My guest today, very influential man, William Cooper. The book, Behold the Pale Horse, 500 pages of well-documented, most suppressed information ever published in the history of the world. Welcome to the show, Bill Cooper.
Thank you. Good morning.
500 pages of the most suppressed information ever published in the history of the world. That's a tall statement.
Well, it's not only the most suppressed, but in my book, it's the most well documented. We are, as a whole people, I believe, and have been for many, many years, living in a fantasy world. The real world is much different than what the average American would ever believe without going through a process of research and enlightenment that would literally shatter everything that they've been taught in their life.
So, how about an example? Something, perhaps it's happened in the last few months, a good example of what happens with media and how we are being fooled.
Well, I can give many examples. The inflationary period in the 70s, which was blamed upon a higher price of a barrel of oil, the price being set by OPEC, is sheer fantasy. The truth is that inflation cannot be caused by the price of oil or the price of cement or the price of wheat or anything else. Inflation is caused by the printing of more money, which has no backing, or the making available of money in the form of credit, in which case there's no currency printed whatsoever. This creates more money in the hands of the people, which enables them to demand more products. For instance, more people could buy real estate and homes. The result of that is that the prices of those items go up because our economy is based upon supply and demand, and that's what causes prices to rise or fall. Another example would be the Gulf War, which was rehearsed for many, many years. There was a book printed in 1985 called U.S. Rapid Deployment Forces, printed by Arco Press, in which they outlined an operation called Operation Bright Star, which was conducted every single year by sending troops to the Middle East to practice liberating a small country which had been overrun by its neighbor. In the book, the country named was Kuwait, and the neighbor, of course, was Iraq. And so this was outlined. The whole scenario was planned. It was put into effect and rehearsed for many years. And what it actually did was not liberate Kuwait. What the truth of the matter is that we gave Saddam Hussein the go-ahead to go into Kuwait. The ruling class of Kuwait was in on this from the beginning. They benefited from the reduction of a population which was becoming burdensome to them. This was also a benefit to Iraq, and it established for the first time in the history of international law and the United Nations that the United Nations has the authority to pass a resolution and then send a police force to enforce that resolution and then require the member nations to foot the bill for that police action. It was, in fact, as George Bush said, he called it his fifth agenda, was to create a new world order. It was, in fact, first and foremost to begin the process of creating a new world order and transfer sovereignty from nations to the United Nations and established in international law that what used to be under the law of the world, independent sovereign nations answerable to no one but themselves, are another nation with an overwhelming military force. It then set the precedent that nations are answerable to the United Nations and not to themselves.
What made you decide on the title?
Well, what's happening in the world today would give the impression that the fulfillment of the prophecy in the Book of Revelations and Nostradamus and many others are actually coming to pass. But if you read my book, you begin to understand that this is part of the bringing about of their new world order, a one-world totalitarian socialist government, which we're in the process of being incorporated into. Part of this is to convince people by actually creating incidents that fulfill prophecy in order to neutralize large segments of the population so that they will not oppose the destruction of the sovereignty of nations, and for instance, in our case, the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and actually coming under the aegis of a foreign power, which is the United Nations. You see, we're only one nation in the entire world, and even though we have a veto in the Security Council now, that's not going to last. Eventually, we will be subject to the whim of the vote of the General Assembly and the decisions of the Security Council when most of the nations of the world may go against us. So what we're looking at is a complete change in the entire structure of world order and a shift in the power from what used to be the Soviet Union and the United States to a large number of third world countries who can outvote us. You're going to see a tremendous shift of wealth and natural resources from the industrialized nations to the third world countries, and that's what these trade agreements are all about.
Now, Bill, you have been very well known, of course, in the UFO community, and how does the UFO community, with its own conspiracies, how did that bring you into this information that you are now talking about?
Well, most people realize by now that what is popularly known as UFOs are real. They would be real in any event because UFO simply means unidentified flying objects. So if you look up in the sky and see something that is so far away you can't identify it, that classifies as a UFO. But I'm talking more specifically as these strange craft that seem to defy the laws of physics as we know them, and have been sighted by millions of people all over the world, and these people are not kooks or nuts or wackos, although there are an overwhelming majority of that kind of people attached to what you call the, quote, UFO community, unquote, the woo-woo crowd, if you will. These sightings are real, and these craft are also real, and they do appear to defy the laws of gravity as we know them, are the laws of physics as we know them. However, in my research, I have uncovered the fact that there is indeed a secret space program that's been going on since approximately 1954, was ordered by General Eisenhower when he was president. Previous to that, the Nazis had experimented with this technology previous to and during World War II, and it had actually developed a disc-shaped flying craft, which they perfected to the point where they had been test-flown, and some of them were actually used as weapons against our bombers. And those were called Foo Fighters. They appeared to be round balls of fire, which was nothing more than the sighting of the exhaust from the propulsion system of these discs. They would fly close to our aircraft and put out an electromagnetic field which would disable the electronics in our aircraft and cause them to deviate from their planned target. And many of them had engine shutdowns and complete radio failure, and they would begin to fall from the sky until they left the immediate vicinity of these so-called Foo Fighters and then they would regain their electronic power and be able to restart their engines, and at that point they would usually turn around and head back home, thus not completing their mission. So this technology, to a small extent, was successful in the war. If they had ever developed these craft to the point where they could have mounted weapons systems upon them, they would have had control of the air, and the tide of the war would have been turned. Unfortunately for Mr. Hitler, we won the war before he was able to perfect the disc-shaped flying technology. And we, the Russians, Canada, Great Britain, and most probably Australia, captured portions of this technology post-war, and were perfecting it and have been perfecting it ever since. So we know that Russia, the United States, Great Britain, Canada, and maybe Australia have perfected this technology and have been flying it since then. Now, in my research, I located a plan that goes all the way back to 1917, and I believe even before that, where the first inkling that I had that this plan existed was a speech made by John Dewey in 1917 in New York City to the visiting Japanese delegation headed by Viscount Ishihi. And basically what he said is the very first sentence of the speech that he made that night, and remember, bear in mind that this was 1917, John Dewey, who, by the way, is the father of our failing educational system, public education system, made this statement, quote, the best way, oh no, he said, quote, someone once told me that the best way to unite all humanity in a one-world government and do away with war forever would be if we were attacked by some other species from some other planet, unquote. This has been echoed throughout the years, and I believe that the radio broadcast by Orson Welles in the Mercury Theater in 1936 of the War of the Worlds, which created an actual panic along the East Coast and caused the stock market to drop precipitously the following morning, was, in effect, a test of whether or not this plan would work, whether the American public would be gullible enough to believe that there were, number one, actual extraterrestrial beings that came from somewhere else that could traverse the great expanse of space and actually come here and threaten us. The test was extremely successful, and I believe that the only thing after they made that test that they needed to do was develop a technology that would convince the American people and the people of the world that extraterrestrials, number one, were real, number two, were here, number three, were technologically superior to us, therefore represented a threat. This would cause all the peoples of the world and the nations of the world to be willing to lose or drop their sovereignty, their national sovereignty, and unite in a one-world government in order to pool the resources of the world to face this threat. Now, it wouldn't make any difference whether they were outwardly hostile or not. The fact that they existed would, in fact, constitute a threat if they came here first and were technologically superior. Now, whether they're real or not, I believe that that is exactly what this UFO presentation that's being made to the world is designed to create, and that's an artificial external threat to the Earth to facilitate the formation of a one-world government.
Now, many of us in the UFO community understand that if there are higher intelligences, most of them, let's say 95% or more, would abide by a non-intrusion treaty in the first place. So those would be positive, let's say, or angelic, or somehow at least life-supporting for us. So the point, I guess, that you're making is that the entire idea then would be to scare the public into thinking that if anyone out there is able to come here, they'll come here for reasons of enslavement.
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is just the fact that they exist would constitute a threat. When you meet someone that you do not know and you have no idea who they are, what their intentions of, or what their history is, you cannot trust them blindly. And number two, as far as your statement goes, there is no evidence existing anywhere in this world that extraterrestrials are real, much less that they're here. We know that the craft that are flying around in our skies are real, and we can prove that at least some of them are owned and operated by human governments and controlled by human control here on this earth. When you can't even prove that someone from somewhere else exists, how can you sit down and decide or dictate what their policy would be? That's absolutely ludicrous. Number one, even if they did exist and even if we could prove it, it would in no way dictate that they would be harmless or harmful or that they would have a non-intrusion policy or anything else. This is all the woo-woo stuff, and it's wishful thinking, and it's mostly 100% bullshit.
Now, what do you think of the possibility that that the Bible then is an inaccurate document?
Well, considering that the Bible was dictated and put together under the aegis of a pagan, sun-worshipping Roman emperor named Constantine at the Council of Nicaea, I would say that there's a good possibility that the whole Bible was put together and written in order to control large segments of the population. Now, I'm not saying that that's the case or not the case. I'm just saying that because the man who was overseeing the actual formation and the selection of the books and passages that would be included in the Bible was a pagan Roman emperor whose first and foremost interest was preserving the Roman Empire and his own throne as emperor of that Roman Empire, I'd say the possibility exists.
Timeless Voyager Radio is the show. My name is Bruce Stephen Holmes. My guest today, Bill Cooper, author of, among other books, Behold the Pale Horse. We're talking mostly about some of the greatest suppressed information in the history of the world today. You'll be able to talk directly with Bill and myself. Bill, you obviously are one of the most controversial people in this entire area. What did you think about the Waco, Texas incident?
Well, as you know, I was a member of the Office of Naval Intelligence when I was in the Navy many, many years ago. And when I heard what was happening in Waco, I knew instantly that something was very, very wrong. Like everyone else, I was sitting watching CNN, which I normally do at that time of the day, just to get a gist of what's going on in the world before I begin to find out, or at least what they're telling us is going on in the world before I begin my day of trying to find out what's really going on in the world, which is usually quite different from what we're told. I saw a press conference held by a member of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, in which he stated that they had just performed a raid on a religious cult in Waco, Texas. They called it a religious cult called the Branch Davidians, and they had suffered 4 dead and 16 wounded, and that the situation was very bad, and that they were actually placing these people under siege, and that he stated that the reason that they made the raid was that they had a communique from a foreign source through the State Department that the members of this church were getting ready to commit mass suicide. Now, that was the first thing that they said on February the 28th, 1993. I immediately knew that the man was lying. Most people accepted what he said because most people are sheeple. If they're not just living in an abject state of stupidity, they are sheeple, ignorant, and unquestioning, and they've been brainwashed never to question what they're told by someone in a position of authority. The truth is that suicide is not a federal crime. In fact, it's not a crime at all on the federal law books. And number two, even if it were, members of a church in Waco, Texas would not fall under federal jurisdiction. Therefore, there should have been no federal agency there dealing with any kind of a projected suicide. Number two, anywhere where suicide is a crime, it's not a crime until it happens. So someone planning suicide would have come more properly under the supervision of psychologists or psychiatrists and not a law enforcement agency. So I had several reasons to know that this man was lying. And another reason is that even if they were planning to commit suicide, and even if it had have been a federal crime, and even if the federal government had sent someone to deal with this, it would never have been the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, which is an agency that was created during Prohibition to levy a tax on alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. They are not a law enforcement agency. They are a taxing agency. Therefore, there's no reason that those people should have ever been there at all. So basically, I packed up my gear and went to Waco, Texas, and covered it on site. I went to the press conferences, and I found out that we were lied to from beginning to end. No one really knows what it was really all about, but it wasn't about any of the things that we were told. There was no child abuse. There was no child molestation. David Koresh did not have several wives and was not sleeping with all of the women in the compound. They did not have any illegal weapons whatsoever. All the weapons they had were purchased legally. Two of the members of the church had federal firearms licenses. It was one of the methods that they used to earn money to support the church was that these two members attended gun shows across the country, and they bought and sold firearms, weapons. And in fact, on the day that the raid was made, Paul Fata, one of the two members who had a federal firearms license, had taken most of the weapons from the church to attend a firearms show in another city. So most of the weapons that they claimed that these people had were not even there to begin with. The weapons that they did have and that were with Paul Fata were all legal weapons. There were no machine guns. There were no hand grenades. There were no rocket launchers. And the whole reason for this thing is obscured. But eventually, as we continue to dig, we may be able to find out exactly why this was done. But for whatever reason, it was not a United States police action anyway. The police action was conducted by the International Monetary Fund under the United Nations. It consisted of anti-terrorist guerrilla warfare teams of the Department of Special Operations Division of the Department of Defense called Delta. It consisted of members of Interpol. There was a United States Navy SEAL team on site. They had military psychological operations warfare teams on site that were actually directing psychological operations to the Branch Davidians. There were members of the British SAS, and there was British look-down heat-seeking radar capability equipment on site. They were using British aircraft as reconnaissance aircraft with look-down heat-seeking radar, and the whole thing was really an exercise in terror. And whatever the reason for the whole thing, it has not been disclosed as of yet.
You know, we have a call, but before we take the call on the line, Bill, bottom line here, you've had a chance to speak with Linda Thompson, who did the very, very interesting videotape called The Big Lie, Waco, Texas, The Big Lie. Do you have any opinions or suspicions about this?
Well, we know that most of the Branch Davidians were dead early on the morning that the fire started. Long before the fire started, they were dead. We know that teams were sent in to execute these people. We know that the fire was set by the forces that placed the church under siege. We do not know exactly which force sent these teams in. We know that the tanks had flamethrowers on them, and that's plainly visible in Linda's film, The Big Lie. There's an awful lot about Waco, Texas that that more people should be interested in discovering what's going on instead of accepting what they've been told. I was absolutely amazed when I heard Americans say they're just a bunch of religious nuts, they deserve to die, or they're just a bunch of religious nuts, they deserve what they got. This is not the American way. And I might remind all of your listeners that when you take the rights away from one, you take the rights away from all. And when you accept the propaganda and the lies, which, in effect, what happened, Bruce, was these people were executed, and their execution was accepted by the American people simply because they were politically incorrect. And that is extremely dangerous, because what it means is all they have to do is pin a label of political incorrectness on you in order to justify murdering you without due process, without being convicted in a court of law. This is so alien to the American ideology and the principles and ideals upon which this nation was founded, and for what Americans profess to believe in and be willing to be ready to fight and die for, that it's beyond me how the whole thing ever occurred.
Bruce Stephen Holmes for Timeless Voyager Radio, my guest today. If you have not gotten it yet, you should write his name down. William Cooper, author of Behold the Pale Horse, among other books. Certainly a very controversial guest. We are talking about just about every conspiracy that you can think of. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello. Good morning.
Hi.
Mr. Cooper, I agree with you that Waco was a massacre and a tragedy, and that it probably was an experiment to see just how much we would tolerate in the way of violence against innocents. I want to ask you, though, is it true that a number of people around Bill Clinton have died recently, and that the three or four agents that were shot at Waco initially, that those men were, that those men were actually had been bodyguards to Bill Clinton, and that a couple sources have mentioned that up to 24 people around Clinton have died within the last 7 months. And I want to ask you, what do you make of this? Is it true? And what do you make of the works of Dr. Beter, who said that there's a technology to develop lookalikes or doubles for world leaders, and that possibly the Clinton we have before us is not really the real Clinton we saw during the campaign?
Yes, it's absolutely true that many people have died. We know a minimum of 16 people who have been very closely connected with Bill Clinton have died within the last, hasn't even been a year, as a matter of fact, been less than a year, under very suspicious circumstances. We know that one of the ATF agents who were killed on February the 28th was actually shot on one of the cattle cars while they were driving up to the Branch Davidian Church, and he was shot by one of another BATF person in the cattle cars, and they carried him out of the cattle car before any shooting with the Branch Davidians ever started, and he was laying on the ground dying. He eventually died. They never even brought an ambulance or even tried to get him to a hospital. The other three died on the assault on the church, and President Clinton himself, when he made a speech later to the Department of the Treasury, named these three as having been his bodyguards during his political campaign for presidency. So that admission comes directly from the lips of the president. We know aside from those three, there's at least 16 other people who have been closely connected with the president who have died under mysterious circumstances over the last 8 to 10 months. And from yesterday's revelation about the two state troopers whom he had used to set up sexual liaisons with women over the years and even after he's become president, and also the investigations into the drugs being flown in from Central and South America to a small airport in the state where Clinton was governor, at an airport called Mena. This is no surprise. It's just trying to get through the corruption in the government to get someone in a legitimate position to investigate this. Considering all the deaths, I don't think anybody's going to have the balls to do that anyway. So it's going to be up to those of us out here who essentially are not afraid to conduct the research and investigations and make this stuff public.
What about the replicas? What do you think?
Well, I think you can take Dr. Peter Beter's tapes and throw them in the nearest fireplace, and it'll help keep you warm in the wintertime.
All right.
I don't know who he was or what his agenda was, but he certainly was not truthful in most of the information that he's revealed on his tapes.
All right, let's take a call on line two.
Hi there. I just had a question. I wanted to respond to the comment that most of the American public is listening to the news and taking things sort of like sheep. My question is, obviously you're an intelligent person, but why should I believe you? And isn't it the nature of a conspiracy that the truth would really never be known? How do I know that you're not part of the conspiracy, in fact? And why should I listen to you rather than someone else?
Okay, good question. Let's find out the answer. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
All right, Bill, you've heard the question.
Well, number one, the first thing I tell anybody when I go on the air on my own radio show is that you have to stop believing everyone. In this day and age, when the deceptions in the world are being created so rapidly and so rampantly in order to keep the public totally and completely confused and in order to bring about this one world government, you're a fool if you believe anybody, including me. But any cursory examination will reveal the truth to anybody who wants to look for it. The problem is most people are lazy. Looking for the truth requires work. Work is something that people avoid like the plague, so they usually don't do it. And besides that, they've been trained all their life to accept the word of people in positions of authority and not question it. The fact that, in fact, most times, if you use your own common sense and your own brain, you don't have to have somebody else tell you anything. You will know what the truth is. For instance, what happened in Waco, if you really understood the law, and if you really understood the relation of the federal government to states, and if you understood that suicide is not a crime until it's committed, even where it is a crime, and that there is no crime in the federal law books called suicide, you would have known that the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearm was lying when they gave that first press conference. You would have known that they would have had no authority over that church in a suicide situation, whether it was planned or whether it had actually been carried out. It would have been a matter for local law enforcement agencies. And so on and so forth. I mean, that's the way it goes. But what I advise people to do is institute their own plan, and it can never stop because the deceptions never stop in this world. There's always somebody who wants something from someone else, and they use deception, manipulation, lies, and deceit to get it. So you must institute your own program of continuous research and an honest, real search for the truth, and you have to be able to accept the truth no matter who it hurts or helps, even if it hurts you. Because the truth is that once you begin the search for the truth, it's going to shatter a lot of the preconceived notions and beliefs and things that you've been taught all your life. If you set out to try to prove your own beliefs right, you will never arrive at the truth.
My guest today, William Cooper, author of Behold the Pale Horse. This is Bruce Stephen Holmes, Timeless Voyager Radio. Let's take another call.
Hello. Good morning. I'm so happy to hear your speaker, William Cooper, again, because I've heard him speak before. I've read his book, that wonderful book, Behold the Pale Horse. That sent me to the Bible to find out what is he talking about. I found out that I have had a lot of misinformation from the Bible. So, if I might make a suggestion, I've been studying everything I could get my hands on since 1961, and I just recently got a publication, and it's called The Overview, a wonderful thing. It says, Searching for the Truth in the New Age. As I've been wrong so many times, it was so helpful to read this periodical, The Overview, and the chapter I'm reading now is A Constitutional Primer and analysis, and they go into the our Constitution and how it was gradually changed. Now, I didn't mean to make a speech, but I do like to say that there are helpful signs, because there's another periodical I've subscribed to called The New American View. That tells so much about the background. So with that, if anybody wants the address, I'll give it to them later.
All right, let's get a little comment here. Thanks for your call.
All right.
Bye-bye. William, are you familiar with the overview? This is a new newsletter.
No, I'm not, but I am familiar with the Constitution being changed over the years. In fact, they've actually taken out one entire amendment to the Constitution and substituted it with something else. When I was in high school, I was taught that the 13th Amendment was a prohibition against Americans accepting titles of nobility, and that was in the Constitution when I was in high school. There has been no amendment, there has been no constitutional convention, there's been no legislation removing that 13th Amendment and replacing it with anything else. Yet if you'll go to any modern version of the Constitution and read the 13th Amendment, you'll find that that has been completely altered and changed.
Hmm. How so?
And you'll also notice that George Bush recently accepted knighthood from Queen Elizabeth.
So what is your suspicion here?
Well, my suspicion is that, I don't know why they would change that, except it's always been traditional for Americans to reject a monarchy in favor of a republicanism. Our country is a republic. It is not a democracy. Democracy is only a code name for socialism. One man, one vote always results in the irresponsible mass of people voting themselves everything until the whole system collapses. And that's what happened to the Roman Empire, basically. And for some reason, they're trying to take us back into acceptance of a ruler rather than rejection of that.
Let's take this next call. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, good morning. I was listening with some interest to this whole show, and it seems that he is correct that the deceptions that we face on a day-to-day basis are getting more and more complex and harder to discern. And I found that everybody with a particular agenda, whether it be vegetarians or Republicans or whoever, seems to use quite a creative, should I say, mixture of truth and mythology and outright lies to get their agenda across. And I'm just the practical effect of that is that we're deluged by mountains and mountains of not just truth but deception as well. And I'd like to ask William, how does one continually sift through those things? I mean, I have quite a great deal of intelligence, which I try to apply every day. I'm not one of the sheep that believes everything I'm told, but I find that even if I am a really decent judge of what the truth is, that even it gets confusing because there's so much of it. And he's correct in that it is work, but you know, there I have other things in my life too that are more important than trying to find out the truth of everything. I have to, you know, I have to survive and eat for a living and try to.
Right. So you have to depend on someone, don't you?
Well, I depend on myself pretty much as best I can.
But no man you're saying no man is an island. We need some help, right?
Well, the thing that my question is to what's the practical effect of all of this? Is there any way that this can be changed? Is there any way that we can stop this? I mean, the world, I think, is going to continue to get more and more complex. Is there anything that we, there's several different people who try to, you know, jam culture by substituting the truth for the propaganda or turning the propaganda in on itself. I've practiced it a little bit myself in confronting some of the you know, the hypocrisies that I see in certain movements that I vehemently disagree with.
My question
is, what can we do about all this?
All right, let's let Bill address that. Thanks for your call.
Nope.
He's absolutely correct in that the deceptions are getting more complicated and more numerous as time goes by, and the effect of that on the general population is that they quit looking for the truth, and that's exactly what these things are designed to do. And it's also designed to prepare them mentally for what's coming and to accept it. Now, I disagree with him that there's something more important than finding the truth. If you really believe that.
In other words, he was saying that he had to have a job, et cetera, and you are saying that
I'm saying that I'm no different than he is.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can find the time to do the research and discover what's really happening, then he also has the time. Many people use this as an excuse, and that's just unacceptable to me. See, this country was based on the fact that the people would be the watchdogs of the government, that each man and woman are kings and queens in their own right, and the government is our servant. Now, I can guarantee you that if you are wealthy enough to have servants and you turn your back on them and don't supervise them, that they're going to turn your household upside down and all the silver is going to disappear from the cabinet. Now, so we're in that situation now. We must be the watchdog of our government. We must know the truth. And I beg to differ from him. The world is no complicated today than it was 5,000 years ago. The only complication is when you have to learn huge amounts of knowledge in order to be able to deal with the manufacture, the creation of technology. As far as people and governments and all of that goes, there's nothing complicated about it whatsoever. But the deceptions tend to make people think that. They believe that the law is complicated, so rather than learning the law, they go hire a lawyer. When they hire a lawyer, they don't understand that they've just made themselves, they've just made a declaration of legal incompetence, and they become a ward of the court. They've hired a man who takes an oath to uphold the court and not the client, and he is, in fact, an officer of the court, so his first interest isn't even with his client to begin with, and that's just one simple example. I mean, I could go on and on and on and on and on, but if people don't wake up and help us search for and discover the truth and understand what the truth really is, they're going to find themselves a slave in a totalitarian, socialist, world government that they never even dreamed was coming and won't even know that it's coming until it's here, and when that happens, it'll be too late. One of the ways that this is being brought about is through another deception. You see, they have to make people cry out for control, and more control. And the control has to be over independent sovereign nations and not just within a nation. And one of these is the ozone hoax. Number one, there is no ozone layer. Number two, there are no holes in the ozone. Anybody can figure this out if they just do a little bit of scientific investigation. It doesn't require much more than the level of knowledge of high school, of a junior high, high school science. And one of the things that you'll find out is that ozone does not protect us from ultraviolet light. Ozone is the byproduct of a chemical reaction between ultraviolet light and molecules of oxygen. When ultraviolet light strikes molecules of oxygen in the first part of the atmosphere where oxygen molecules are concentrated, a dense enough layer where they interfere with ultraviolet light streaming toward the Earth, the ultraviolet light striking a molecule of oxygen causes the two atoms to split apart, forming, instead of O2, now you have two atoms called O, and these are free radicals. They will immediately attach themselves to anything that will accept them, including things that can be oxidized. So one of the byproducts of this is that some of these particles of O hit something else that can be oxidized readily, and it forms an oxide. Another byproduct is a particle of O will attach itself to another atom of our molecule of oxygen, O2, and form O3, which is ozone. So the ozone layer is in no danger whatsoever. As long as oxygen molecules exist in the atmosphere, and as long as ultraviolet light streams toward the Earth from the sun, there's always going to be ozone in the atmosphere. The only place that they ever show you that there are any so-called holes in the ozone layer are always over the poles, and always only over the pole that is experiencing winter at that particular time that the photograph is taken. And the reason for that is the Earth is tilted on its axis, and over the pole where there is winter at that particular time, no light is striking oxygen molecules in the atmosphere, and therefore no ozone is created. Whichever pole is undergoing winter at that particular time is experiencing 6 months of darkness. And all you sheeple out there who are buying all of these hoaxes and scams that make you call for control of the atmosphere, control of air conditioners, control of CFCs, you better wake up, because somebody is ramming it to you, and I mean they're ramming it to you with all they got, and you're just sitting there taking it. The truth is, if there were going to be ozone holes in the atmosphere, the biggest ones would be over Los Angeles or London or New York City. How do all these CFCs get only to the poles, and only to the poles during winter to create these holes?
William Cooper is my guest. Let's take another call.
Yeah, I probably couldn't explain the ozone layer system for him, but as far as, this isn't really my question, but as a response to what he says, I'm kind of against that whole theory, because the radiation that is dangerous to human beings is actually absorbed in the process of creating O3. Which is ozone. Actually, my question revolves around more on your concept of the totalitarian regime that we all exist under, and one world government. I read somewhere that the Committee on Foreign Relations was like a group that had produced like the Secretary of State, the President, and the Vice President for the past 30 years, and that it's actually a cover group for international banking groups. That's my first question, if you could tell me more about that. And I guess that's it. If you could just talk about that.
All right. Thanks for your call.
Mm-hmm.
All right. William, you're on.
Yeah, well, number one, he's right. In the process of ultraviolet light striking oxygen and forming ozone, the harmful effects of the ultraviolet light are dissipated. And great numbers of people on the earth are not contracting cancer from this. The increased rate of skin cancer from people going to beaches and laying in the sun is simply caused by more people going to beaches and laying in the sun. It wasn't too long ago when it was not cool to have a suntan, and that women wore these big hats and covered themselves with clothing so that the sun would never strike their skin. And in places where people have always been out in the sun, there's no more incidence of skin cancer than there ever has been. It's only where large populations of light-skinned people have migrated to tropical climates and have been exposing their skin to the sun in much greater quantities and for much longer times than they ever have in history. Number two, the Council on Foreign Relations is a subversive body in this country. They have published and made it no secret that their goal is to destroy the sovereignty of nations and bring about one world government. They literally, along with another group that they formed in 1972, called the Trilateral Commission, have been responsible for choosing all of the political candidates on a national basis that are presented for the people to elect. And it doesn't make any difference which one you vote for or which one actually gets elected. Both of them are always on the other side. And their goal, as I've stated, and they've published this many, many times, it is no secret, is to destroy the sovereignty of nations and bring about a one-world government. The international bankers, as you may believe, are not in control. Money, as you know, is a tool that can be used to bring things about. The international bankers are members of these organizations, and money is being used as a tool. But the international bankers are not in control, do not call the shots, and are not the brains behind all of this.
We have just a few more moments, and I'm very, very happy to have had you on the show today, William. Alternative 3, are you familiar with it, and what is it about? Is it a hoax? Is it true? What do you think?
Well, I don't know if it's a hoax or if it's true. We have the videotape of both segments of Alternative 3 that ran on British Anglia television available for people to study. Now, we know it's a docudrama, which means that it's all acted out. I've also read the book, and I also saw a reference to Alternative 3 in top secret documents when I was with the Office of Naval Intelligence in the United States Navy. We do know that there's a secret space program. We do know that there are anomalous structures on the moon and on Mars, and it is entirely possible that we have been in space using this secret technology for many years, and if we are, could have actually built bases or colonies on the moon and possibly Mars. We could have built a space station in space somewhere. I don't know if all of this is true or not. We do know that someone has built something on the moon and on Mars, unless NASA has furnished us with faked photographs.
For listeners, just to kind of review Alternative 3, my understanding of it is that it started with the disappearance of a large number of people, and later it was disclosed that these people were evidently either talked into or hijacked or abducted and taken into space programs and left, I guess, on these bases on Mars and Moon. Is that your understanding?
Yes, under a project called Project Adam and Eve. Adam was to colonize the moon, Eve was to colonize Mars.
William, you have a few moments here. What would you like to leave listeners with?
Basically, the best advice that I can give you is the world is in a state of change. The change will be so radical and so complete if it progresses the way it has been planned, as to make everything completely unrecognizable to anybody who lived just as little time ago as 10 years. If you're interested in where we're going, and if you want to help us make sure that what's coming about is going to be good for us and not bad for us, I would suggest that you get off of your lazy butts, and that applies to most people, not all, and start a sincere search for the truth. The truth is elusive at best, but we must find it. We must act from a point of truth, not from a point of deception, and we must, as a whole people, help direct whatever change is coming so that we don't end up as slaves in this new world order.
William Cooper is my guest. Behold the Pale Horse, 500 pages. It's available in your bookstores. William, thank you so much for being a guest on Timeless Voyager Radio.
Thank you for inviting me.
All right. What a great show, ladies and gentlemen. I hope that you enjoyed it today. Timeless Voyager Radio.